She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it.
Oh, we love the crew, man. We love the crew.
You know, it's fun to see what our organic meme style has been. We got the Nothing Burger, the 1,000-year mortgage, and now we got Jesus taking the wheel.
I need that. I need him to take the wheel of that $300,000 Cullinan. Yes, I do.
The AI is scary because that's scary. The first time I've actually seen it look like me. You know, maybe me like 10 or 20 years older, but that one actually looks like me. So that's crazy. Let's get into the deep dive because we were talking about this a little bit earlier on last week. Actually, I was on the solo show. These data centers, what's going on?
So today's deep dive, I wanted to look into these data centers because it is something that doesn't get enough coverage.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about all the things that you don't see behind the scenes. We're going to look at what it looks like inside of one. We're going to look at what it costs to actually run these. We're going to look at the actual impact to you at home. And that is the main thing here because information is everything. And there's a real possibility that this gets out of hand and that the grid cannot handle all these changes all at once. So,
all right,
we're going to start off at the top here. And let's pull up that picture of the house near the data center. This look at this photo here.
You want to live there, guys? I don't want to.
This is
there.
A real photo. I thought it was AI at first, but most people experience AI through a screen, you know, a chat bot, maybe a search bar, maybe a writing tool, maybe like a feature inside of an app they already use.
Right.
But they don't see the physical system behind that. And this is part of that physical system, right?
Okay.
In a large industrial building right next to the normal neighborhood like you're seeing here. And so, you know, using AI feels digital, but the building is a very physical and big project. And it takes land, it takes power, it takes cooling, it takes backup systems and a lot of infrastructure.
Right.
And the impact doesn't stay inside of the tech world for very long. It starts trickling out into the rest of society. And so if we pull up number two here, let's pull up the picture of this like heat map of where all the data centers are, because it is shocking. So if you take a look at the top right corner, you're going to see this giant like bubble of data centers that exist in Virginia and kind of West Virginia and that area. There is a reason why that's happening. And so a lot of this build out is happening in Northern Virginia for practical reasons. So this region had a lot of strong fiber connections, reliable power, major customers nearby, open land, and they also had tax advantages that allowed them to get like bids. And then you also look at the fact that once it happened, the region became even more attractive because the next builders, the people who wanted to be close to the existing networks and existing infrastructure and existing customers,
right,
that's why they started flocking there. So this county, Loudoun County alone, already has 200 data centers built or approved around it.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
I can, but I mean, I don't want to live there. I can't imagine what that's like. Why can't we just put all of them in the panhandle?
That is the question here, and we're going to talk about it because it's about the resources and locality, but also they're building them everywhere. If you don't think that this is something that's secluded, if we can pull that map back up, you think it's not going to hit you, but unless you're like in the middle of nowhere.
New England is crazy.
New England is crazy. I'm sorry if you're in the East Coast right now. Florida's starting to build out. Here in Texas, we're starting to see them in Austin. Dallas has a big cluster of them.
Yeah, look up north.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
It gets pretty crazy. And that's the Northeast is where you have the largest concentration of population or density of population.
Is there a state with no data center? I don't think there is.
No, you've got like Wyoming and Idaho and North Dakota.
One.
They've got a little bit, but like even North Dakota and South Dakota have them.
Damn,
so
there's nowhere you can hide from the machines.
It's nowhere you can hide. So what happened here is now we have the spreading into the other communities in the state. And before getting the bill into the bill of like what it looks like when it hits your pocket, we've got to look at what these buildings actually do. So let's look at this video that shows us what the inside of a data center looks like. It was very hard for these people to get this video, because most of the companies like AI, Meta, they're secret. They were like, we can't allow you in this building.
Yeah.
So they went into this smaller one that I think was in Wyoming that allowed them to see it. And this is only like 10% of the size of some of these bigger ones. So let's go ahead and roll the clip.
Welcome to Lunavi. Well, come on in, I'll show you a tour.
This 35,000 square foot data center is tiny compared to the largest ones in the US. Those can stretch to well over a million square feet. Lunavi offers cloud services to customers like betting apps, mapping companies, insurance, and healthcare businesses. Zoom out and you can see that the location is no accident. Cheyenne, the capital of Wyoming, sits on an east-west internet superhighway. The city is also well connected to renewable energy generated by these wind farms. Wyoming is only a small player compared to Virginia, and to attract more, the state is offering generous tax breaks to encourage the big tech giants, like Microsoft. This large data center began emerging from the map south of Cheyenne in 2021, and this is a site belonging to Meta, just over the road.
You're currently within the critical infrastructure space of Data Center 2, designed to have 800 cabinets, roughly, at full capacity on that side. So we take the air from the above ceiling grid, we feed it down through the computers, they heat the air up, comes back out the back and up through the chimney above ceiling, and then just continually circulates the air on that perspective.
Lunavi has the space to scale up to the more energy-hungry GPU processors used to train AI algorithms.
So this big white space is future computing. The cabinets in this facility now have a capacity of something like 5 to 10 kW. If they want to build the ones that are going to do AI with graphic processing units, GPUs, that'll go up to something like 70 to 100 kW.
GPUs do need more power, but they can complete more tasks than a regular processing chip and in less time. The lower ambient temperatures in the high plains of Wyoming mean data centers use less energy and water to cool themselves. Lunavi say they use around 500,000 gallons of water a month when at full capacity. That's roughly the amount of water used by 200 people.
Okay, so, I mean, look, it sounds small, but again, this is a small...
Well, no.
Data center.
You got a town, and they build other towns around it made out of computers. That's what it looks like to me, because we got that map of the city there. You got Meta, and then you got, I think it was Microsoft, was it not?
Yeah.
It's just, if you combine those two places, they built this as big as the town.
Well, and you're asking why these data centers need to be around the civilian population and why they can't just be in the middle of nowhere. It's because they rely on the same resources that we use as the common
Would that be
person.
The fiber optic cable?
It's fiber optic, but then it's also water.
Mm-hmm.
The source of water, and often these we build towns and cities around bigger volumes of water.
Sure.
And then also the electricity grid itself.
Sure.
Well, so the power
like,
grid.
It looked like that one specific place in Wyoming was just a textbook for what you want for the data center.
Yeah. And so then you got to look at it. We've always had data centers. And, you know, your email, your cloud storage, your photos and your streaming have already depended on that physical building. But the AI takes it to another level. OK, so he talked about like that 10 to 50 kilowatts. And then he said, well, with AI, you would need 70 to 105 or 100 kilowatts. And that makes a very big difference in the amount of power demand. And so
you're the engineer. I'm not. So go ahead, get into it.
No, I mean, I'm not going to bore people with the specifics of that. It's just, again, more power. You have to get that power from somewhere. So you have to take it from the existing power grid in order to run that. And that's just a small center. He's just talking about this small little plant that's like, I mean, I think he said 50,000 square feet, which is a lot. But you're talking about
a million.
But you're talking about, yeah, compared to a million, there are people that are building massive ones that you couldn't even fathom how big they are.
You know what I was thinking about as I'm watching that video? I'm thinking about how well paid the HVAC technicians are that have to maintain the air conditioning system. Those are the real jobs of the future.
That is good. You're right. There's a lot of things that go into there that are secondary that we don't think about, that they're also making money from this.
Right.
And it's out of necessity. It's not like the HVAC company was like, ooh, I want data centers all over. It just, they get to benefit as a byproduct.
One person can send an email firing people for HR. Another person can maintain the board computer system that's running the world. Mm-hmm. Look what's going to get phased out. Look what's coming and getting phased out.
Well, and what the difference between the normal internet and AI is your internet already uses computing power, but the AI uses something that's more demanding. And so they're training these large models on higher volumes of data. And those data models run constantly for millions of users because millions of users are querying every single second of the day. And OpenAI has like a billion or two users daily. That's not even counting the rest of the AI
algorithms. Well, I can go ask a question about season 5 of SpongeBob and burn 5 liters of water, you know, and everyone else can as well. And we talk about it a lot, just the contributory effect of just the global marketplace of everyone using these things.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, the other thing is between 2021 and 2024, the number of data centers have already doubled. Wow. So in 2025, the industry expected to spend about $475 billion more on data centers.
And you remember Trump gave them $500 billion in Project Stargate. Pretty much one of the first things he did in office, he basically has said, I'm going to be the AI president.
Mm-hmm.
So he's ushering all this in.
And so what this means is you're going to see data centers popping up left and right, left and right, left and right, and they're going to hit a city near you. I mean, we're not that – we're in a very dense populated area. You're going to start seeing data centers trickled throughout. You know how you see big spot plots of empty land?
He's building one in Bastrop right now.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, he's building a data center up in Bastrop.
For Grok, right?
Yep, I believe so.
So now once – much of the demand has hit the grid, the cost doesn't just stay inside of the company and, you know, just whatever is causing it. It actually starts showing up in most places that people don't think about. And so the main place is here on the electric bill.
Wow.
Okay. What you need to pay attention to, and I encourage every single person to go pull up, is something that, you know, it's something that like you just get an electronic bill sent to you and not everybody's looking at it. Well, you should start taking a look at it because the first sign that people are looking at is this delivery charge, okay? So the delivery charge is the cost of the electricity itself and the cost of moving it to you and maintaining the systems around it. So there was a utility model that we built here in the United States where it's over like 100 years old. It was basically we were going to socialize the cost and spread the cost across an entire area for the utilities and the infrastructure it took to supply the power to people's houses because you couldn't get around it. So, you know, this works better when the growth is kind of like shared and it's kind of slow, but there is a small number of these giant corporations who need an extreme amount of data in order to run it, and they're not paying their fair share, even though they're causing most of the demand. Most of the demand is actually flatlined for people. We're not consuming like significantly more energy.
Well, and this is what they say. They say they want to have it run on a meter, right? Just like electricity, just like water. They want to run intelligence on a meter. But they want all of us to publicly subsidize their ability to use millions of times the computing power versus what we would use already just in average everyday life.
Yes. So remember, like, if you didn't notice, you're like, whoa, why is my electricity bill going up, take a look at your delivery cost. Those are where the hidden fees are getting put into. Okay.
It costs us more to deliver the energy.
It costs us more to deliver the energy, but it is a broad statement.
Okay.
It's the cost to deliver the electricity and maintain the delivery infrastructure.
And if you need more delivery infrastructure, you gotta pay for it. Wow.
You see the equation here?
Ain't that a raw deal for the American people? They're literally just saying, screw you. Like, that's pretty much what it is right there in your electric bill.
And so a perfect example of this, we have a company called PJM, which covers 13 states and about 65 million people.
Okay.
And so the last major capacity auction saw prices jump 800%. And the capacity auction is like how much you're paying for the capacity of the grid. And according to the material, the data centers drove 63% of that increase in that 800%. It wasn't even the people. It was the company that's needing that demand. And so this brings us to the point of, you know, these other companies are structuring deals like Meta, Google, Amazon. They're structuring the deals to where they're only paying for a percentage of the infrastructure that they need.
Right.
They're structuring deals behind the American people's back, and this video is going to show it perfectly. Let's play number 5 of what Meta has been doing behind the American behind Americans' backs.
One recent example is happening right now in Louisiana with a data center being developed by Meta.
Last year, a utility company in Louisiana proposed to spend $3 billion on a new power plant to meet electricity demand from a Meta data center. The full terms of its deal with Meta are secret, but redacted regulatory filings have revealed that the public is on the hook for Meta's power plant.
Meta has signed a 15-year deal, and it only obligates them to pay for about half of that $3 to $4 billion of infrastructure, which means that there's a big risk that everyone else in Louisiana will get stuck with the rest of that bill.
I believe deeply in building personal superintelligence for everyone.
Pause it.
And at Meta, we have the resources.
Ain't that a face you can trust?
Yeah. Go back to the photo of him.
Yes.
Does this look like a face that you can trust, like Rex?
Would you trust him to babysit your data for you? You think he's going to keep it all safe?
Oh, no, Rex. He cares about people.
And you see Elon get pushed out. You see Zuck get brought in. Ain't that something?
This is the new face. This is the new face of capitalism here.
The lizard man.
Go ahead and play the rest of it.
Resources to build the massive infrastructure required and the ability to deliver new technology to billions of people.
Meta saw an opportunity to negotiate a massive data center deal without the public having any input. And to this day, there is still massive amounts of detail about that Meta AI complex that the people of Louisiana have no information about.
In Virginia, the utility company Dominion Energy has proposed to build 6 new power plants to meet data center demand, the first at a cost of $4.5 billion. According to one estimate, only 30% of that will be paid for by the customer class that includes data centers.
At Dominion Energy, we know power is personal.
Residential customers will pay about half the cost, despite the fact that residential demand for electricity has flatlined. Dominion projects that average residential electric bills will more than double to $315 a month in the next 15 years, primarily due to data centers.
Oh, and here's the thing. That's like an underestimation.
Right.
Because you're not taking into all the other things that are happening, not even just with the power plants, but also the inflation.
Sure.
All of those things stack up. So you're...
Well, the American people are being nickeled and dimed to death here. Absolutely, yeah. Being, you know, just penny pinched into destitution. And this is not fair for anybody. And it's like we just said, they want to run these things on a meter. They want to make you pay so that they can use thousands, if not millions of times, the intelligence that you're able to.
Well, and the biggest problem here is, you know, they're making these deals behind closed door. It's not like they're doing it at the town hall where people get to speak on it and understand what's happening.
You don't get to
say. It's a private negotiation in which if you try to get information or access to the documentation, it's all redacted like the Epstein files.
Oh, well, it's Epstein's friends anyway. It's all a big club, right?
Yeah. And so what they want to do is they want to hide the true cost. They want to hide the true impact that happens to you at home. And you're just supposed to silently take it.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot in our system here in America. The big corporation has all the money in the world to do the lobbying, to do the negotiations, to make the best deal happen. And they don't take the average person that lives in that area in mind. They don't care. They just care that you're using their resource, which you're already paying for it, by the way.
Sure.
You're paying for the things that Meta has created. Just from the subscriptions and the things that you buy off of Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. And then you get an extra tax on your internet bill.
Yeah.
it's just the most beautiful thing I've seen.
Their argument to it is jobs. We're creating jobs. People have to build it. People have to work there. We're stimulating the economy. Well, you're building jobs for foreign people. You're building jobs for people that are coming from out of state. You're building jobs that are temporary, ultimately.
Temporary.
And the cost is forever.
Yes.
The cost does not go away. Just like inflation.
You hit the nail on the head. Temporary. Because when you build something, you're not building it forever. Once the building is done, it's done, and those guys are moving on to a new project. Second thing is you have AI coming into the equation where it's able to maintain a lot of the things and the jobs that you would expect there to be.
Right.
So people are already getting replaced in the job market, and you only need a handful of people, or not a handful, but like let's say a few hundred or so to maintain some of these data centers with all the new technology and the systems that they have in place. But the thing that is the biggest slap in the face is these AI companies and tech companies have been sitting on a boatload of cash. I'm talking billions of dollars. When they sold their shares back in 2023, when the stock market was at all-time highs and the S&P 500, they were silently taking cash off the table from their stocks when they were artificially pulling them up. So let's take a look at this. You've got Microsoft, which is about, they've got $95 billion approximately. Apple, is that $48 billion? Is that what that says?
Apple, yeah, I believe so.
And then you've got Meta, who's got about $70 billion of cash.
Google at $125 and BH at $340 billion.
Amazon is at $95 billion as well.
Wow.
So you look at these numbers and they said, oh, it should cost like around $4 to $4.5 billion to build something, right?
Right, right.
And they're only paying 50% when you're sitting on all this cash. Does it make sense? Whereas you, as the average American, is already struggling to put food on your table, and they want you to put up the other 50%. Oh, don't mind us. We're just going to slip this extra $100 a month on your bill and without you realizing it.
They'll call you a liberal socialist if you want any sort of governmental or congressional or just citizen oversight over any or all of this entire process. They'll say that you're a socialist, that you don't support capitalism or a free market. This is not a free market. No one else can compete in this market. This is a market – no kids at this table.
Yes.
That's what they say.
And then if you just want to understand a K-shaped economy, look no further than these situations. Okay? It really is the have-nots and the have-yots.
Yeah, you often say that, and it's often very, very true. I mean, these people, they live on a different planet, live on a different world. I'm just reminded of Theo Vaughn going on Joe Rogan and having this existential moment of, like, everything's so bad, run by evil people. What are we going to do about this? And Rogan, who's a billionaire, is like, you just need to come out, hang out with me and my friends. And okay, well, I'm sure it's great for you. I'm sure it's great for people that make millions of dollars doing comedy, people that make millions of dollars doing business, whatever. The average American that's not able to benefit from these various Ponzi schemes is dying in the street.
They are dying in the street. And I mean, Meta, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon are planning on spending $220 billion alone in 2025. And they can't even pay their fair share.
Right.
And they get also tax incentives and tax breaks for building these data centers.
Yeah, you don't get a tax center for building the house. Oh, no, we forget about that.
Nope, not at all.
For data center, absolutely.
Come on in.
That's
and
right.
Here's the thing. The people who are in positions of power, they are trying to say, oh, we've got your best interest in mind, but they're also bringing more money into the city budget. But then it's like, well, what are you spending that money on, too?
It almost comes to the idea that the country isn't the GDP. The country isn't the gross domestic product. The country is the people and how the people are doing. And the people are not doing great. And the Dow at 50,000, Pam Bondi.
The S&P 500.
Oh, yes. We hear about all this. But when do we hear about benefits coming to us at home? We get more pesticide. We get more data centers. We get more scams.
And we get fake dividends.
That's right.
I'm waiting for my 2K. I'm also waiting for my Doge dividend. What happened to that, Rex?
Waiting for the Doge dividend. Waiting for COVID payments. Now we're waiting for the new $2,000 tariff dividend. It's all going to work out magic. Because leadership says so. We don't think so. We're here to cover the real news. We're going to be back with a deep dive here in a few seconds. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for all your favorite vitamins, minerals, supplements, shirts, apparel, and various products. Thealexjonesstore.com is the place to be. It's where you want to be. We're going to be right back after this break.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein for cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.